interview is probably one of the great pleasures I will have in this session, because the man we're going to talk to is a legend. He's well known to everybody. He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, Kevin Harrington, but got a highly diverse and a stellar background in more breakthrough industries that gives him really the perspective and the maturity and the reality to be able to comment about crowdfunding. He was one of the absolute key factors in the beginning of the infomercial era. He's been fundamental in direct response electronically. He owns a monster huge company called AsSeenOnTV.com. He's got his hands in more deals and companies than I can imagine, and I'm going to sing his praises so long I'll run out of time for the half hour that we're going to spend. So, Kevin, first of all, you and I have known each other for a long time. I've admired you from the beginning, and it's a pleasure always to share time with you.
Jay, what an amazing introduction. Thank you so much. It's likewise a pleasure to be on with you, and we both learn a little bit every time from the conversation. So it's a mutual admiration
I love that
we're starting off with here. So thank you. Thanks for having me.
You be welcome. So I'm going to do this very down, dirty, and direct. We're on with tens of thousands of people who are passionately focused on this nascent emerging crowdfunding industry, and there are a multitude of interests and initiatives that are listening this moment. They range from, number one, people who are trying to get reward-based funding, social, causal, creative type things. You got people who are trying to start crowdfunding activities to service the industry, platforms, service providers. You got accredited investors who are now able to invest direct, trying to figure out who, what, where is a good investment. You got people trying to get accredited money. You got people trying to be service providers. You got people trying to be professional service providers, broker dealers. Ultimately, you got people ready and poised to pull the trigger. In a few months, they're going to have literally non-accredited, where it's going to be a wild west and oil, like the oil boom of the 1890s and 1920s combined, because you're going to have people who've never invested investing freely with some controls, maybe the income-based minimums or maximums. You're going to have people who've never really been in business trying to get money. I want to talk from the vantage point of somebody who's no-nonsense, who's a shark, who's been a no-nonsense observer, participant, leader in so many emerging industries. First of all, your general thoughts, your specific thoughts. You know me from long ago that I'll interrupt you only as an advocate of the market.
Sure.
So take away and I'll interrupt accordingly.
Okay, super. So, yeah, you said it best. It's an explosion that's happening across so many areas. A lot of people, when you look at crowdfunding, the first angle that I came at it from was, I got all these people coming to me with products that they want funding for. So that's my world. When I think of crowdfunding, that's what I think of. And I'll tell you how I'm in the crowdfunding business in just a second. But that's just one aspect of crowdfunding. You said it best when you said, this is service providers, platforms, broker dealers, investors. It's all the other aspects of it. And so as you and I are sitting here talking, all these entrepreneurs in all these industries are, you know, wheeling and dealing to start capitalizing on the various aspects of the industry, okay? So that's what's beautiful about it, is because it's the new, you know, frontier. It's like when infomercials first started back in the early 80s.
Those were the days.
You needed phone centers, you needed fulfillment centers, you needed dub houses, the dub the shows, you needed production companies, you needed list rental, this and that, you know. Of course, some of that stuff did exist already, but it got very specialized for the TV industry of infomercials.
Created a lot of opportunity.
So I look at what went down in the infomercial world in the early 80s, mid-80s, as this is what's happening in the world of crowdfunding right now. So how I'm getting involved and is starting in a small fashion, I want to learn this business. But, you know, the Kickstarters of the world And the Indiegogos, these guys, I mean, I think Kickstarter's done over $800 million in funding. You want to do something good for the world, you can go to Kickstarter. If you have a product, you can go to Kickstarter. If you want to take a trip, you know, that you don't have money for, someone might fund that too. So there's many, many things. I'm in the business of As Seen on TV, so I've launched an As Seen on TV crowdfunding site, which is, do you have the next Snuggie? And if so, come to our site. It's the As Seen on TV crowdfunding portal. So we're looking to fund the next product in the world of As Seen on TV. And let me tell you how we're going about it differently. And this is a new twist. So you go to Kickstarter, and if you want $100,000 for something, if you raise the $100,000, you pay Kickstarter $5,000, 5%, whatever that percentage is, and then you get the $95,000. So now Kickstarter's model is working for them, I assume, but you know they take the small percentage. What I'm doing and what other business owners will start doing is up until this new site that we've launched, if somebody came to me with a product, I had to put up all the money. If I want to fund it, I put up the money. Now what I do, I put it on a crowdfunding site, and I let the crowd tell me if they like it, and if they do like it, then they're going to fund it, but I don't give the money to the entrepreneur to go spend it and maybe spend it foolishly because he doesn't. What's happening with a lot of sites, these people aren't making their deadlines. They don't know how to manufacture. They're getting screwed up in the manufacturing processes, in the delivery of the goods process. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in a very negative way in some of these deals. So what we say is we will take the crowdfunded dollars and jointly together with the entrepreneur, we'll go spend it to build that business together.
So you'll impose astute management, marketing, and business controls, which is really a very cool concept because most of the platforms do is they don't give you the money if you don't hit your minimum target. But then they're sort of out of the picture, and there's a lot of vagaries in what happens next.
Hey, I won't mention a name, but I know a company. They went on Kickstarter. They raised $125,000. They got the money. They started making their product. They've missed every deadline that they had and they got purchase orders for their product from chain stores. They missed every deadline for delivering the goods for Christmas. They have zero sales, and they may be banned from doing business at any of these places now because they sold it in, and they weren't able to deliver because they'd never been. These are 26-year-old kids that
they don't
have
realize
never
what it's cost them, what non-performance cost them.
Exactly. So now, I would have said, guys, let's use the $125,000 that we've crowdfunded. I'll work with you as a partner to go help co-manage this project. And now it's almost like this, all the years you've been doing what you do, Jay, you help people build their business. Well, let's go let the crowd fund it. And now you and I can help them also build it, but we'll use the capital that the crowd
has. That's very good leverage.
Fund.
Good leverage. Now I'm going to switch, but I'm going to come back to that in a minute because I want you to get your mind figuratively sitting with a bunch of sharks on Shark Tank. What's wrong with most of their pictures besides the fact they don't know what to do with it when they get it as far as why would people say no and why would you say no and what would you say to help them be better?
Great question. First thing I say, you have to have a perfect pitch. That's the first thing.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah. So in a perfect pitch, you have to be able to tell the potential, and let's talk about an accredited investor situation, because that's where crowdfunding is moving right now.
Right now, you're right.
Okay. So there's an accredited investor sitting there looking at many, many opportunities.
And not just in crowdfunding. They've got lots of passive and active ways to deploy
exactly
that capital.
If you have $1 million net worth and all of that, that the accredited investor has to, you know, be able to prove, let's call yourself a sophisticated investor, you've got brokers calling you with deals, you've got friends calling you for deals, and now you've got crowdfunding that's pitching you deals, okay? So there's five or six key things you need in a perfect pitch. I want to know, number one, that the industry, the competitive landscape of the industry that you're in, why is what you're doing in that industry, is it underserved? And how what you have is going to serve that marketplace to bring you the revenue streams that you're projecting. okay? You need some financial projections. You need an advisory board, which is very, very important. I'll talk more about that in a second. You need a management team that's been there and done it before. You also, you need to have some good video. HSN and QVC, you know why they're so successful? Because they're pitching you and they're selling you and they're demonstrating the product, okay? You put a product on a shelf in Walmart and people say, that'll never sell because you don't know what it does. You don't know how it works, okay? The visual aspect of crowdfunding is you go on a website, you have the ability to show people why your product is unique. Demonstrate it, show me, and talk to me. And they, you know, this is the other part of it. You get to listen and see the inventor. It's like models, in the modeling world, you see a picture of a model, you don't know if they're, how for real that is. But if you got to see that model talking and interacting and pitching, that's what you get to do in a crowdfunding kind of platform with a perfect pitch. That's number one. That advisory board is also very important because if I'm looking at a young guy, 26 years old, how do I know that he has any capability of doing, of building that business really? But if he's got five guys that have been there and this guy's raised $10 million before and this guy's run this company, he's had 3,000 employees or whatever, and they have vouched for that business plan. If you've got a couple of advisory board members or board members that are powerful, that can mean a big difference. And then I'll ask for those advisory guys even go on record as part of that crowdfunding presentation to say they have reviewed this business plan and they agree with what is in this business plan in terms of the representations that are being made in that plan. That goes a long way to helping gain some credibility for some of these young companies that really are just, you know, kind of poking around on the internet trying to get some money.
Yeah. Now I'm going to interrupt and I'm going to tell you a story and I want you to comment. It's like a growth shock, okay? We'll be like in a marketing business, wealth creation, psychological experiment. So I've been getting very deeply involved in the industry because I see it as very promising. So I basically say you got to understand, first of all, what value means to the market. You really got to know some fundamentals about business building, about marketing, about preemptive advantage, about pre-validating market, about acquisition cost, conversion, all these things that nobody's teaching. You want to talk about that?
Exactly. No, I agree. And I mean, that's exactly the point I made to the two 26-year-olds that got $125,000. They had the cash in the bank, and they didn't know what factory to go to. They went to the wrong factory. The guys can't manufacture what they wanted for the cost they said. They're not going to make their delivery. So there needs to be an educational component to this world of crowdfunding at all levels. And I think that is going to be an opportunity for people that will be able to come in. And by the way, it, maybe it's education, maybe it's partnering, maybe, you know, whatever that might be. But I absolutely believe there's some scorching stories out there. Money doesn't solve all evils. But a lot of people that have gone out and got crowdfunding, they had what they thought was a great idea. The crowd liked it. Great. But where is the experience behind the company to execute? That is the difference here, is the execution phase. You know, if there's going to be accredited investors, these investors are looking for a return on their investment. If they're putting money up into deal after deal after deal, and these deals aren't making money and aren't paying back, there's going to be a kickback and a backlash to the whole industry for sure. And that's, I think, especially when you get into these unaccredited situations, you're going to have some massive issues there. So
I agree.
I think people that are going to raise capital, we should really look to go through some educational processes.
Well, I'm going to give you a couple points, and I've spoken at a couple of conferences, and I polarize. People who are very sophisticated really get what I say. The people who are very ambitious, but let's call it theoretical, don't like it, because I say, look, an investor, if you try and get money, and it's the same thing for, I mean, you're either a seller or buyer, or you're a seller and a buyer in every situation in life, don't you think, really?
Yes,
and so,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so you're trying to raise money. You got an investor who's got the option of putting his or her money in any of a multitudinous array of investment classes, passive, active, and they've got the option of doing nothing if they want and waiting. So that's one thing. Number one, if you're competing for that money, you better show, number one, that you've got a higher probability of giving them a viable return, succeeding, getting their money back, getting an incredible, whether it's a dividend, whether it's flipping it, selling it. You better show them that you really understand it. You better show them you validate it. You better show them you know how to manage and harness and steward the capital. You better show them you know how to scale or what to do. And you better show them that you can preserve the most precious thing, which is the money they're going to give you, or you can match it, leverage it some other way. They don't realize that anybody with money has infinite options everywhere in the world today.
Yeah. You know the biggest problem that we had on Shark Tank?
Please.
Was people that came out, they always came out focused on themselves, on their idea.
Instead of the market.
Yeah. As opposed to, how do I get the shark on the other side over there to write the check to understand that when he writes a check for 100, how do I convince him that the check for 100 is going to be worth 500 in a year or 2 years? They didn't focus on what's the return on the investment of the shark. They were so focused on themselves and, oh, I've got the greatest idea, and if I only get 1% of the market, we're going to do $1 billion. For 10%, I want to, you know, $100,000, or I want $1 million, whatever the number was. How do I get my $1 million back? Is what you're saying right now, and that is what the mistake most of these people came on Shark Tank. They didn't understand that the sharks, and by the way, think about being a shark on Shark Tank all day long. What's happening? One pitch after the next, we got another one coming. It's like, we had to conserve our money in a day because, like, first guy that came on at 8 in the morning, it's like, if you did 3 deals in the morning, you were shocked.
People don't get that. Being first isn't necessarily advantageous.
And by the way, as a shark, it wasn't just the deals that we saw on Shark Tank presenting on the show.
You got tons of them afterwards, didn't you?
Yeah, all the sharks go home and their emails are blowing up. I was getting 1,500 a month presentations a month coming to me, and it still happens. But that's every investor.
I'm doing some stuff with Damon, and I looked at every pitch that had ever been made from the whole history, and I analyzed who got the money, who didn't, what they did right, what they did wrong. The vast majority didn't get it, but most of them, they weren't prepared for the questions, they didn't have good answers, they didn't demonstrate any understanding of business, their competitive business, anything else out there. It was almost humiliating vicariously just to watch and see how sad it is that people don't even know how to enhance their own success probability.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of it started with the perfect pitch. Like I said before, is that, you know, a perfect pitch, the final part of that is what's in it for me, the investor. Every investor has a sweet spot, right? And some want quick return. And on a quick return, maybe they'll take less of a multiple. If they put up 100 grand, but they can get it back quick, maybe they want 20, 30%. But if they're going to leave it in, you know, if you're going to leave something in for a while, there's more risk because you can't touch your money for a while. You want to turn 100 grand into 500 grand into $1 million. You're not looking for a safe. If you want a safe bank return, you go to a bank. If you're going to take risk in a market like Shark Tank and put 100 grand into somebody's
or like crowdfunding.
Yeah, you want a big return on your investment.
I agree. I think that we've got a few minutes left, and I want to ask you for either or both or not. You choose because I want you to add the maximum value. What's the biggest either list or most powerful lesson or understanding besides what we've covered that you think will be the greatest enhancer, advancer, and success improver for people wherever and at whatever place they are going to try to function in the crowdfunding arena?
Okay. Well, it's a good question and a tough one just because it depends on what aspect of it you're in. But
I know.
I'll give you, when I think of crowdfunding, getting the person to write the check is the most important thing. Because until the check gets written, there's no funding. So it's just crowd, okay? So, you know, getting a crowd is one part. It doesn't become crowdfunding until somebody actually writes the check. Okay? So I always focus on how do I get the person to write the check. And that's why I say you need to have the right story and all in place. There's one tip I'll give you, probably one of my best tips. And if this is the question you're asking, let me give you probably one of the best tips. And I don't think hardly ever people will ask me today, hey, I'm going on Shark Tank. If there's one tip you could give me, what would it be? All right. So it, you know, in addition to making a good pitch, and I call it the perfect pitch, okay, it's focusing on getting the shark to write the check, or in this case, how do you get the crowd to want to focus to write that check? And so if I were putting something on a crowdfunding site today, what I would do, I call it an accelerated payback. This means, you know, I'm thinking about you, Mr. Investor. I want you not to think of this as risk, because I'm going to give you a percentage of my gross sales right off the top. If you put up 100 grand, you get a percentage of the gross until you get 100,000 back plus 20% return. You get 120 grand back accelerated. It might happen in 3 months, 6 months, whatever.
But you keep your equity.
It's very quickly. Plus, then you're paid back your 20% return. Then you still own equity for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So what you do is you put it into a no risk, and there's always risk. But the smallest risk possible, because you're not talking percentage of profits. You're talking, if I sell something for 100 bucks, $2 on every unit sold, that's a percentage of the gross. You get that right off the top, no matter what, until you get back your 100 grand plus a 20% return. Then you own equity for life. You are now in a money situation forever. So if you can get
that.
Somebody to think.
I'm going to tell you something. It's hilarious. You're psychic. I'm laughing not my butt off, but I'm laughing because I was going to say to you two things. I was going to say that if anybody watches the last the couple of years, they're giving people ways to be evangelists. They're saying, okay, give us. Everyone turns down, and they're dumb because they're asking, I mean, almost everybody on the panel is asking for those answers which will protect and accelerate, and people don't get. They're almost begging the people to say, yes, I want to be preemptive above everybody else pitching you, and they don't even get it. You know that I've spent my whole life trying to figure out more advantageous ways to take away the risk, to accelerate the gain for the other side.
There you go.
And it's human nature. There's a fun statement I read. I'm going to end with this with one other question, but I read a really cool article. It said, your job in competition is to reduce your risk and move it on to your competitor without them even knowing they're bearing it. Get rid of it on your side and put it on their side so they look so much worse than you in comparison, and most
Absolutely.
People don't get that.
Yeah, that makes the point across the board.
I'm going to do something that I think is really cool. I'm going to give you another deserved plug because I love your mainstay business because you figured out how to leverage. I love leveraging without risk off of everybody else's effort, resources, advertising, investment. Talk for 3 minutes about asseenontv.com, and you can talk about what it is, but I think the strategy and the leverage ability that it gives you is so brilliant that it should make minds start to think.
Yes, okay. So in the world of As Seen on TV, there's a couple dozen players, maybe a dozen players. They spend weekly about $10 million in media on their commercials.
These are infomercials, short form, long form, everything.
$10 million a week, every week, week in, week out.
Promoting their products.
Yeah, promoting their products. Now, today, 40 to 50% of the people don't even call the phone number. They go online and check, see what's out there online. So now, when they go online, asseenontv.com is my site. I own the .com. So I get 15 million people a year without me spending a dime on my site, because they other people are driving them to the internet, and then I've got keywords, and I've got this, and I've got that, and they end up on my site.
They end up on yours, because your site's got more desirability than this, and you're selling the same product just as
selling
a distributor. You're like a retailer.
We're like the Amazon of SCTV. So beyond the fact that we then sell all these products, we also now have all these inventors coming to us saying, we have a little thing. You have an idea? Submit your idea to us. Last year, over 3,000 people submitted their invention to us on that site. Okay? So that's why we said, let's be in the crowdfunding business.
That's brilliant.
Submit your idea, let's crowdfund it. So we're now not only going to sell you the next Snuggie, we're going to help you get funding for your idea.
But I'm going to ask you a question that goes to the, because you think, and I love it because I'd like to hope, I'm not aspiring to be equal to you, but I like to think I look at life differently. You decisively look at a situation from a totally different vantage point that really rings my bell and excites me. What do you think the key to how you look at a situation differently is if you were going to try to share, teach, instill, and install that kind of a paradigm in somebody who is a little more linear-minded?
I started as a young entrepreneur with no money and struggling to find, you know, I had great ideas. I was able to go find the products, okay? Because in the early days, I said to myself, I was like in a curiosity overload situation.
Yeah.
I would do 20 trade shows a year, the houseware show and the hardware show and the beauty show, the golf show.
Always looking
for the golf show, and there's a guy with the Medicus golf club that hinged a golf club. Boom, let's do a show. And when I deal with entrepreneurs today, I look at it as if I was back in my early days needing to, how do I get the capital? I put myself in their shoes. I absolutely understand exactly where that guy is. He's full of, you know, piss and vinegar with his idea, and he wants to take it to the market, but he doesn't have the capital. He needs to raise the money. How does he do it? You know, I can say, hey, look, I know what you're experiencing, and let me be part of what you're doing now, and I'll help you get through all the clutter that I had to go through and save you all the hassles and the headaches. This guy that got the $125,000, I partnered with him, and now I found him the manufacturing, and yeah, he lost Christmas season, but now he's like, you know, hey, Kevin, I understand. Yes, you were there 30 years ago, 25 years ago. You're going to help me go through this because you've been through all of this before. So, you know, I have to make them believe that, yes, I was just like them, and I have the blood running down my shins from all the mistakes that I made.
Yes.
But now, don't you make those mistakes that I made, because I'll show you how to do
That's
it
great.
Without making those mistakes.
That's okay. Great. I want to talk to you forever. I've got to stop, but it has been a pleasure, and I really appreciate it in behalf of everybody listening, because I think you made them a little wiser, hopefully a lot more realistic. And your optimism for the field is infinite. You're just a realist about if you're gonna be part of it, play it to win, not just to, you know, to get your brains bashed out, don't you think?
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of people. Unfortunately, there will be a lot of people that make money that shouldn't, okay?
Yeah.
But if you want to do it right, you've got to do it for the long term. And the long term means people that invest money have to get paid back. So, you know, that's why what I'm doing is partnering with the people that have the ideas, using the crowd to fund those ideas and leveraging my experience with them so that we have a higher chance for success. Because just a straight crowdfunding is, I think the chances there's going to be a lot of horror stories, and there already are. So
I
don't want to be
for the industry that they have successes beyond the average. Because if they only are as good as angel investing or VC investing or regular entrepreneurial failures, which is only 9% success, the whole industry will be stillborn.
There's going to be lots of horror stories, and I want to be on the right side of it. You know, it's a great industry, and there's going to be a lot of good people that make a lot of good, fair, clean money, and that's the only way to go, because the federal government's going to be watching every move that everybody makes in this whole business.
And I don't think people realize, you and I know from lots of fields, you know, that you don't want to go awry with the regulators.
No. That, you know, there's one line that you can come up to it, but you never cross it. And when you're talking about raising money, it's a very complex, regulated industry. And so, you know, just, you know,
a lot of responsibility.
Do it the right way. A lot of responsibility.
All right. Thank you very much. You are a great friend, and we will continue. I think as the industry progresses, you and I will revisit often, because I'll be very very eager to hear your perspectives and your adventures.
Super. Jay, it was great being here.
My honor.
I look forward to it again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.